It's February 21st, 2020. My guest is Misha Popoff. He's a former organics farms inspector. He's been on many times before. And we're going to talk about a subject so sensitive, which is Adolf Hitler, but I'm not overly sensitive to talk about it, one of my favorite subjects. So welcome back, Misha.
Hello, Brian. Good to be here.
Yeah, we first did a talk on organic farmings and various conspiracies, and now we're doing one on Adolf Hitler. So tell me, what's your feeling, your view, and your historical studies on
Sure.
Hitler?
Well, ironically, there's a connection there. I just bought into the whole mainstream theory. As you know, I have a degree in history, and Hitler's a bad guy, those mean old Nazis, and Germany started the war, and Germany had global designs. Take over the whole world, Brian.
Yeah. Evil, evil.
Yeah. And what I learned, though, I wrote a book, a self-published book on the organic industry. The organic industry, just like, by the way, the conventional industry, they started in Germany. We wouldn't have synthetic fertilizer were it not for Fritz Haber. He was a German Jew. By the way, one of those German Jews who loved Germany and had never wanted to leave. He thought, why would I leave Germany? It was great here. And yeah, he invented what's called the ammonia synthesis process. So that's a German. We wouldn't be able to feed half the people that we feed nowadays without synthetic ammonium or nitrogen fertilizer. Yeah, and he did that with a company you might have heard of called BASF, which stands for Baden-Adeline Soda Factory. That's who Fritz Haber went into business with. Yeah. So that was in the second last year of the First World War. Well, no sooner did Fritz Haber come up with the means by which to pull a limitless supply of nitrogen out of the Earth's atmosphere. The opposite, you know, you get your dialectic going, you know, thesis breeds antithesis. Well, yeah, the organic industry at the time was called biodynamics. And it started by 1920, a mystic by the name of Rudolf Steiner. He says, which is true, by the way, he says, yeah, synthetic fertilizer, that sounds great, but it's empty nutrition. And he proposes that we should stick with the tried and true methods of composting to get the nitrogen and all the other trace minerals. When you pull nitrogen out of the Earth's atmosphere, all you get is nitrogen. You don't get zinc, copper, iron. You know, people have anemia. The doctor will tell them, well, go eat beef because you need iron in your diet to raise the iron level in your blood. Well, you used to be able to get iron from bread. And that's been proven that right up until World War II, you could literally live on bread if you didn't have a lot of money. And that's what we hear Jesus talking about in the Bible. So anyway, yeah, there we go. And the biodynamic movement under Rudolf Steiner became integral to the Nazi Party by the 1930s. So just 10 years later, the Nazis loved this. They said, because they didn't have, you need to get that synthetic nitrogen out of the atmosphere, you need natural gas. And that's part of a chemical process. Well, as you know, the Germans didn't have a lot of fossil fuels with which to fight the war. They were using coal to get diesel from, which is very inefficient. Better to just get diesel right out of the ground, but they didn't have any. There's no oil wells in Germany, and which people say that's one of the reasons Hitler invaded Russia in 39, because he wanted to get the Caucasian oil field in the Caucasus.
41.
Sorry, thank you. Yes, well, 41. Of course,
he had better reasons than that, though.
Of course, yes, because he knew Stalin, backed by the New York Jews, was coming for all of Western Europe. So it was a preemptive attack. Yeah, thank you, 41. In any case, there's the Germans, and they can see in the 30s, they can see war on the horizon. It ain't going to be pretty, and they don't have a lot of fuel. They don't have a lot of natural resources. So they really view Rudolf Steiner's philosophy as a godsend, and that was the heart and soul of what we now call the organic movement. It was called biodynamics at the time. And all through the 30s, the the heroes of the modern day organic movement in Britain all followed Rudolf Steiner, and they all made trips to Germany in the 30s. Yeah, wow. So we have here's a good name, Rolf Gardner. He was a priest, a Christian priest, and he started an association that became the British Soil Association. And it was called, I think it was called the Christian Association for the Land, for the farm and the land. And he viewed, as by the way, a lot of the Nazis did, he viewed organic farming as the true God-intended way to farm the earth. And so that's Rolf Gardner. He made numerous trips to Germany in the 30s. Another couple of names people might know if they're really into organics are Sir Albert Howard. And he really became famous after the war. The other name, Brian, you'll know this name, Lady Eve Balfour.
Oh, I know about the Balfour Declaration. Yes.
She's the niece of Mr. Balfour, or Sir Balfour, who wrote the Balfour Agreement with the Jews back in the 20s.
Yeah, this is to give Palestine to the Jews.
Yeah,
can we blame her for that, or is she innocent?
No, she's kind of a rebel, okay? She's not following in her uncle's footsteps, because he hates the Germans, even in the 20s, before there was any... Well, there was never a reason to hate Germany ever, but, you know, even before the propaganda geared up in the 30s, there's, I forget his first name, but, you know, Sir Balfour, there he is cutting a deal with the international Jews to steal the land of Palestine. You know, as you know, they called it a land without a people, and it was not such for these people without a land, being the Jews of Europe. So that was the big lie. In any case, yeah, Lady Eve Balfour, she's kind of a rebel because, as I just said, she's, even if she doesn't ever say it in her diary or anything, she's really siding with the Germans, isn't she, Brian? So that's going to upset her uncle. We have no evidence of that. But the very fact that she, like Rolf Gardner, and she ends up being the president of what became the British Soil Association, which is still the world's premier organic certifying body in the whole world. The British Soil Association. Yeah, Rolf Gardner started that in the 30s. After World War II, they changed the name to get Christianity out of it. And she was, I think she was one of its first presidents after. So yeah, Lady Eve Balfour, she does this famous experiment called the Hawley Experiment. H-A-U-G-H-L-E-Y. Right? So she's a rich little spoiled girl. She's got all this money and an estate. The estate is called the Hawley Estate. And she does an experiment there, and she proves that if you do it right, organic farming is just as good as conventional in terms of productivity. So that's amazing, because, you know, we're always told, you know, well, I said it in the intro that, you know, half the planet lives off of synthetic fertilizer. That's true. But it's, again, it's empty nutrition. What she showed is that you get the same bushels per acre, and more importantly, you get the same nutrients per acre. So to this day, even when organic production is a little lower per acre, it has more nutrients, again, if it's done right. And there's, as we've discussed, Brian, there's a lot of fraud. Mm-hmm. So a lot of organics isn't being done right. In any case, there we have, that's the beginnings of the organic movement. And after World War II, all these three people, Gardner, Sir Albert Howard, and Lady Eve Balfour, they all kind of, they're, you know, they realize it's not cool to hang out with Germans anymore. And the whole thing shifts from Germany. Most people don't even remember. Like you talk to an organic activist today, you know, they'd be a dyed-in-the-wool organic person, a farmer, or just a person who buys 100% organic food. And if you told them it all started in Germany, they'd laugh at you. They wouldn't believe you, because it looks like it started in Britain. So right there after World War II, they changed the name to the British Soil Association. All ties with Germany are cut off. And really, it wouldn't have existed without Germany. And in the lead up to World War II, the Ministry of Agriculture in Germany is second only to the War Department, whatever they called it in Germany. It's second only. So everything else came, so it went, you know, war, because they're obviously preparing to be invaded, right? As you know, I don't have to convince you of that. Hitler had no designs on taking over anything. He when he invaded Poland, he was just taking back the land that had been taken from Germany.
Yeah, protecting Germans there.
Yeah, land where Germans were being murdered by Poles. And in any case, so there they are. They can see war clouds on the horizon. And the Ministry of Agriculture, which is relying almost wholly on biodynamic or organic farming, it is second only to the War Department. So everything else comes after that. Everything else, propaganda, wow. Whatever.
Importance on agriculture. Yeah. Hitler really protected the rights of the farmer,
Yes, definitely.
Interest and servitude.
And the farmers had suffered greatly under the Weimar Republic, by the way. You could pick up a farm in Germany for like $150. There were investors in New York and Switzerland. They would just buy farms sight unseen from bankrupt German farmers. Well, that changed in the 30s when the West underwent the Dirty 30s and the Depression. Germany rose up, as you know. And yes, German farmers were returned to their land to help feed the nation of Germany. So
yeah, and the 25 points of National Socialism, right near the beginning, Hitler talks about the farmers, the rights of the farmers, how they're suffering from interest servitude and how we have to protect them and raise them up, put a big emphasis on that.
Yep, and what's happening across the border at that time with Stalin? He's murdering farmers. He's either starving them to death and their families or just going around and shooting them. So, yeah.
I think of the Holodomor, right at that time, winter of 32, 33, yep. Just when Hitler got elected, Stalin was doing the Holodomor, killing 8 to 10 million Ukrainians, starving them to death.
And why is Stalin killing farmers? Because of all the professions, you know, bricklayer, welder, shipwright, of all the professions, the farmer owns land. Even in the Soviet Union, the farmers still owned their land. They hadn't been collectivized yet. And as you know, collectivization was a disaster, just like it would be in China in the 50s. But yes, Adolf Hitler is doing the opposite. He's obviously not harming farmers, not executing them, not starving them. But as you just said, he puts them right up near the top because that's the backbone. That's the heart and soul of any nation is its farmers. And
he has to feed his people. That was a concern. He had to feed the Germans.
Yes. And the best way to do that is to let them own their land and be profitable. Let them control it. You don't tell a farmer, hey, grow more oats. The market will tell the farmer that, and the farmer will respond. These farmers aren't stupid. You might have heard Mike Bloomberg recently made fun of farmers. He said,
Mini Mike? What did Mini Mike say?
Yeah, Mini Mike. You can look it up. He said, anyone can be a farmer. He said, you go out. You dig a little hole in the ground, you put a seed in it, and it grows up. No. Even under modern...
He's Jewish, of course. He's Jewish. Yeah, they don't farm.
Yeah. Jews haven't farmed since biblical times.
No.
Literally have not, and they'll admit that. But yeah, they have no idea what farming is. They view farmers as prey, that they can prey upon, loan money to at high interest. Anyway, so there we are. There's a huge connection between where you and I met on the organic industry and the Nazi party and Adolf Hitler himself. And yeah, so as for Hitler,
yes,
there are
I'm wearing
two...
my pin, my yeah. Adolf Hitler pin for the audience here.
Right. And as I said to you before we went on, it's a Buddhist pin, isn't it? It's an Eastern pin. For
the swastika, it's a talisman of good fortune. Has several meetings, eightfold path. Yeah.
So, enlightenment, prosperity. I can't remember them all, but yes. And so that's what the Nazis were all about. I mean, even people who hate the Nazis, they have to admit historically, Hitler turned things around for Germany. We had the Roaring 20s. They were in abject depression, prostitution.
Yeah.
And then everything switched. We went into the Dirty 30s and the Great Depression, and Germany prospered.
Of course, they'll say the reason why Germany prospered is critics will say, well, it was just a big, huge military buildup. He created all his jobs just from his military build, tanks and guns. You see, that's how he did it.
Yeah, but of course, that's using your own resources. That drains a nation's treasury.
I know, it makes no sense. It's not logical. It's not true. Actually, he didn't spend that much on the military.
Yeah, in fact, he probably didn't spend enough. But people said that about Reagan, too, didn't they, Brian? They said, oh, sure, the economy's doing well, because unlike Carter and Gerald Ford before him, oh, Reagan just started building up the military. Well, that costs money. Yes, any spending sort of stimulates the economy, but military expenditures, once you have a tank rolling off the assembly line, that's it, you're done. There's a tank sitting there. What are you going to do with it? You can't plow with it.
Yeah.
You know, it's, so they said the same thing about Reagan, and it's basic economics 101. There's no truth to that, is there?
There's no truth to that. I did a previous video of the amount of money he spent on the military per year, like 1934, 4%, 1935, like 6%, 12% around 1938. It wasn't that much, you know, until war was getting more imminent than he needed to.
Yeah. And then look at America, Brian. When Roosevelt put America on a war footing, I would imagine you're looking at figures closer to 30 or 40%, because, as you know, they forcibly converted all the factories. There were no cars built during from 41 to 45. No cars were built in America because they converted everything to war production. So yeah, I'd like to see the stats on what percentage America was spending. And that's ultimately how they defeated Germany, was just by outspending them.
Yeah, the big bombers, remember Henry Ford, second was saying, you know, they defeated Hitler, like 6% of the bombers came from Ford Motor, and yet Henry Ford is a big supporter of Hitler. Of course, government intervenes. Now you have to build tanks and trucks we're going to give to the Soviet Union to help them in their war effort.
Yeah, and not to defend Henry Ford too much, but he really had no choice. I mean, there was no way you could opt out of FDR, Roosevelt's plan to put the whole economy on a war footing. So, So anyway, I'd like to present two historic precedents to Adolf Hitler. And I think they shed light on really what happened with him.